So this week's Parsha Nasoi discussed the Nazir. So we'll discuss, and the Haftarah, probably connected to it, discusses the beginning of the birth of Shimshon HaGibor, who was a Nazir Shimshon. Obviously a connection there. Instead of discussing the beginning of the birth of Nazir, we'll discuss the final days of Nazir Shimshon, Shimshon HaGibor. So what happens is, he marries, he gets together with Dalila, and she tricks him into revealing his secret source of power, which was his haircut, his non-haircut, and she cuts his hair, and that was like the third or fourth time that she tried to get the information out of him, and he didn't always give it right away, and then he gave it in, and she screams the Plishtim here, and obviously they chop him, and they can't do anything about it. We're in Perek Tezayin. Pasuk Chavalos, Vayechazu Plishtim, Vayinakra Zainav, they blinded him. They took him to Gaza, all famous places here, the Plishtim, Gaza, and they put him into work as in the mill. They made him grind stuff. That's all Pasuk Chavalos, when he was captured. Doesn't say how long he was in that situation as a prisoner, but Reb Chaim Kanevsky quotes a medrash that says he was a prisoner for 2 years. Plays out a little bit. You read the story, it doesn't look like it, but he says it was 2 years. Then comes Pasuk Chav Beis. That's the one we'll discuss. Six words. Vayochel sa'ar roishoy l'tzameach. And here on his head, I assume, sa'ar roishoy, began to sprout. Kasher gulach. Kasher gulach. I don't know what those words mean in English. Kasher means as it was cut. So we'll have to learn what the word kasher means in a minute. So here it says that his hair started growing back. Then there's a pei, which is a hefsek. And then starts the next part of the story. Then the Plishtim got excited, they got together, and they decided to make a spectacle of Shimshon HaGibor. And they had all the ministers and all the governors come. And he was in the house there. And then he davened to Hashem. And in his last will and testament, he had the famous phrase, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim. And he knocks the house down together with all the Plishtim. They all died. And then the Pasuk even tells us that he killed more people in that last moment than he had done in his entire life combined. If you go through the Shimshon story, that's a lot of people. A lot of people killed in that last moment. So again, we have a very simple story here. He was captured after his hair was cut. Then a strange statement. We'll talk about these six words of why, how, when the hair began to grow back. Then the Plishtim made a party and he killed him at the party. So we're going to go out of order historically because it'll make it easier to go through it. The point is, the Barban Alast and the Radak, what is the point of saying this six words? Who cares if his hair started growing again? Is that important? And by the way, as a side factor, most people, I would say, unless they're officially bald, I don't know if they take a haircut then, but 99% of the people take a haircut. You know what happens right after you take a haircut? Your hair starts to grow. So what would be the point of the pasuk telling us his hair started to grow? Obviously his hair started to grow. So that's what the Radak, the Barban, the Malbim, they're all discussing this question. Why does the pasuk tell us that his hair started to grow? It's no shock to the story. It ends the end of that paragraph. He was captured. He became a slave. We're adding in 2 years. His hair started to grow. End of that part of the story. New chapter in the story. Then the Plishtim get together. So this we're going to have from Mamish B'Mizrach L'Mayriv on the interpretations of what's going on here. The extreme versions of what's going on. Now, Pashtus, you learn that the reason why Shimshon lost his gvura when his hair was cut was not because there was, I don't know how you learn it, Tom, this I would say. It's not that there was etzemdika power in his hair. You can go down the street, a lot of people have long hair. That doesn't mean they're necessarily so strong, right? The reason why the hair affected him was because the non-cutting of the hair, when he was born, when the malach told his mother the angel told his mother that he's going to become a nazir, including in being a nazir, was not allowed to cut his hair. So he had not cut his hair his entire lifetime. He was observing this phenomenon of being called a Nazir Shimshon, a little different than a regular Nazir. He was a Nazir Shimshon, and the moment she cut his hair, he lost that title of Nazir, and Memela, he lost his strength, who is not allowed to have his hair cut. Doesn't matter if his hair is cut by somebody else, or his hair is cut by himself, and the simple interpretation is, he now is no longer a Nazir, and he has to start over. So since he lost his title of Naziris, he became weak. But it's not like the hair itself made him strong. So when the Torah tells us now, Vayochel sar roish letzameach, his hair is beginning to grow.
It's a right for the second sheep.
So the Barbanel openly states that no, this doesn't mean that his strength got back. The Barbanel adds in the words, if his strength would have came back with the hair growing back, the Torah would have said it. So the fact that the Torah doesn't say it You could argue and say it's automatic. He's saying no. The fact that the Torah doesn't add in the words, by the way, his hair grew back and his strength was coming back as well, it means haircut and strength have no shaykh to each other in reality. There's no direct connection. The indirect connection is he lost his power because he violated Hashem's word by revealing his naziris, or he lost his naziris when he cut his hair. Whatever he did wrong, he did wrong. But the hair is growing back, has no shaykh. So the obvious question becomes, so why is the Torah telling us this? If it has no shaykh to the story, what's the point of the Torah telling us this idea? His hair was cut, his hair's growing back, his hair growing back has no shaykh to him growing strong. So why are we telling us the story at all? The Babel doesn't seem to answer this question. The Babel also asked, how did he get strong in the end? In the end of the story, Yitaka gets his strength back and knocks the house down. So the Babel says that was, no, that's someone else. The Babel says that was done with tshuva. Could be the other one similar. That he did Hilchas tshuva, he realized he made a mistake. Whatever the mistake was, we're not sure about. Whatever the mistake was, he now did real tshuva, now he's all back in. So the reason why he gained his strength back because of tshuva. So if he gained his strength back because of tshuva, and he lost his strength because he cut his hair, so why are we telling him his hair started growing back? Who cares? So the Babel doesn't answer. There's another sefer, without quoting the Babel, that does answer. He says, very fascinating, the reason why the Torah tells us that his hair started growing back was a whole different approach, because it wanted to tell us that the Pelishtim saw his hair growing back. They were masubik. They held like Zwick. His hair is going to grow back. He's going to get his strength back. The Pelishtim held this way. They were like nervous. So they said, let's wait around. Let's see his hair start growing back. Let's see if he gets his strength back. So what they did was they waited. They saw the hair growing back. And they said, okay, let's test him physically. And they saw that physically he wasn't getting stronger. So the Pelishtim were excited. They said, hey, we ruined his power forever. We gave him kryptonite forever. He's never going to recover from this. This is great news. What happens right after that? After the Torah tells us that his hair began to grow back, doesn't tell why he's telling us this, but the Lev Aaron is saying, tell us the hair grow back. Why? To tell us that his strength did not return. Didn't say his gender. Then it tells they made a major party. What was the major party celebrating? The major party was celebrating for the fact they conquered, they vanquished their enemy forever. That was their approach until he did tshuva and he knocked the house down. But their cheshbon was right, by the way. On the tshuva, they won. He once his hair was cut the one time, he never got his strength back. He never got his strength back, and they decided to make a party. The reason we're telling us this is because of Pelishtim. So according to this approach in the Abarbanel, we have two major chedushim here. I don't know if it's major. One approach would be due to major that the hair does. What we have two chedushim, maybe not chedushim. One is that the hair does not improve his physical strength whatsoever, zero. And the second thing was that the Pelishtim saw his hair growing back. They saw it. The whole reason for the party was his hair was growing back. So you have one statement saying that the hair does nothing, and the second one was the Pelishtim knew it did nothing, and therefore they celebrated. A minor kasha on this, not a major kasha, is that according to this approach, it's a little odd that in the middle of the story they put the pay, which is a break here, the pay on the samach. What's the point of the break? It should have said. It's connecting to the next pasuk. It should have said his hair began to grow back and the Pelishtim were happy. It doesn't say that. It says that the hair grew back, period, new chapter, and the Pelishtim were happy. According to this approach, it doesn't go right. It doesn't seem to connect to each other. That's the whole point. The only reason the Torah is telling us that his hair grew back, which means nothing to us, is to tell us that the Pelishtim sort of made a party out of it. So why make that break in between? Minor kasha. So Radak, who pre-lived, he was earlier than the Abarbanel, he says, Mamish, a borderline opposite approach. He said that Shimshon saw that his hair was growing back, and Shimshon held, the way you read the Radak, it's easy to understand, that Shimshon held correctly, so I might add, that he held that as the hair was growing back, his strength was coming back. He knew it. He knew it was coming back. And he realized right now that it was coming back, and it says that with his hair coming back, he would still need a little bit of Hashem's help, because, you know, it doesn't say why the Radak's saying it. The simple approach would be similar to a Kliyakar on Navi, which is not the famous Kliyakar, it's another Kliyakar, that as the hair grew, his strength grew. So make up numbers, 10% hair growth, 10% strength back. 30%, 30%, but it hasn't reached 100% yet. So therefore, his strength was returning, but he still needed Hashem's help. And that's why it says, the Malbim's adding in, I'm putting people together, that's why he davened when he was there. According to this approach, the Malbim says, unbelievable, that it was a miracle that as the strength was coming back and the hair was coming back, we're going to add to it that we know on the side that it took 2 years, so they knew his hair was coming back. The Malbim writes the word that it was a miracle. One of the miracles in the story of Shimshon was that the Pelishtim did not realize his hair was growing back. I don't even know what that means. He says if they would have chopped, they would have been shaving his head on a daily basis. That's what the Malbim says. So we have two mamish different, almost extreme views. According to the Abarbanel, the hair does nothing, and the Pelishtim knew it grew back. And according to this other approach, which I'm mixing together, a Dak, a Malbim, a Kliyakar, not the famous Kliyakar, it comes out that the hair growing back did produce strength, and the Pelishtim did not see it. Two opposites. If the hair helped, and if the Pelishtim knew, it seems to be incongruence, either it did help and they didn't see it, or it didn't help and therefore they did see it. That would be two approaches on why this Pasuk, Bechlal, is telling us about the hair at all, because who cares, the hair is growing back.
So why did he have to say Teshuvah? If he had to
Oh, so it would have to be that it's partial. That means in order to, the final blow was that he knocked down the building, that knocked down, I don't know how many people, make up a number, more people than he killed in his entire life. So in order to get to that level, he needed to do something as well. It wasn't all on him. Had he waited, possibly, had the Pelishtim accidentally waited and made the party make up a number 3 years later, and his hair would have returned to full strength, then he might have not needed full tefillah and full tshuva. Possible to say that. Yes. Yes. Here, since it only grew back partially, it says, Vayochel means it began, Saroy Shalatzamech, it began. Since it only began to grow, his strength only returned in a began level. He wasn't reaching full capacity strength yet. Yeah, it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating. To me, personally, I think this is fascinating. Partial hair will be partial strength. Is that more of a chiddush than no, that you wanted to say, here's all strength? What our Bible is saying, all here, no strength. Barbara says no shaktar here, would never be a difference. But anyway, the Abarbanel, as I said before, did not explain why this pasuk says it at all. The Abarbanel just says that the here returned and has no strength whatsoever. And then we added on from the second sefer that then why did the pasuk say it? Oh, the pasuk said it because to tell you why the Pelishtim made a party. Then we asked, but wait a second, there's a break in between. But on the Abarbanel himself, you open the Abarbanel himself, he doesn't mention this whole second point. He just says the first thing. You should know that the Torah does not tell us that when his hair began to grow, his strength returned as well, because it's pasha to say that the hair growing, returning, did not help his strength whatsoever. So then the obvious question becomes, if the hair is not bringing back strength, what is the point of this whole pasuk saying someone's hair grew back? 99% of the population, when you cut the hair grows back. Why is it telling it to us? So maybe we can say a musavart. That would make sense why the Torah would tell us, because it applies to us today in 2025. The pasuk says that, in English, that a tzaddik falls down seven times and gets up. So there's two ways to understand it. The simple way is that a tzaddik, he's a tzaddik. Even though he falls down, he still gets right back up. But the Musar Sfarim bring down the opposite approach. They say in order to become a tzaddik, you have to fall down and get back up. It's not that you are a tzaddik and then you fall down and then you get up. The tzaddik is capable of getting up and the non-tzaddik is incapable of getting up. That's how you read the pasuk. A tzaddik is capable of standing up again after being knocked down to the floor, and a regular person when knocked down to the floor is incapable of standing up. They say the opposite. What makes the person into a tzaddik is being knocked down. That means you're knocked down first, seven times maybe, and you get back up seven times, and that's what makes you the tzaddik. The tzaddik comes out of the falling down and getting back up. Everyone's knocked down on some point, but the ones who get back up are the ones who realize what it's all about, and they become the tzaddikim. It's not me, right? The Lahavdil, another thing I just saw today, someone showed it to me. The Alex Rodriguez has one of the most strikeouts in history. I don't know if someone's fourth in history or something. Why? He says it on himself. It's a thing he's saying on himself. That even though he struck out so many times, you still get back up. It's not about the shots you make as much as the shots you miss until you make the shots. The idea of a tzaddik is that even though you get down, you get back up. But instead of learning this stuff from the Goyim, we have a pasuk here. The pasuk was saying like this. Shimshon HaGibor was phenomenally successful. He was wiping out the Pelishtim all the time. They tried different ways of getting rid of him, and it was impossible. He was really strong, and it really worked in his favor. And now he fell down. He fell down to the point where they put him in a prison, and why did they make him grind in the mill? That's what it said right before the Ve'itoichin Bebeis Asurim. He became a grinder. And the Medjur says they put him into the weak work of a female servant. They said, you're such a nothing now. You're a blind person. We blinded you. We tied you up. Your mom is nothing. We're going to have you do female work. You can't even do it. That's how weak you are. And Enechanami, they were trying to make him mentally down as well. Emotionally, they were knocking him down. He was a prisoner. And they were knocking him down. But Shimshon, I don't know when, at what point, said to himself, hey, this is bad. I went from top of the world. Imagine going from top of the world to the bottom. It's not an easy time to turn around and get up. But then Shimshon noticed that his hair as well turned around and started getting up. Here he was, he had nothing on his head, and it started to grow back. He learned from the lesson of the hair. That's why the Torah is telling us this thing. Why is the Torah telling us this odd thing that his hair started growing back? Because Shimshon HaGibor learned the lesson from the hair itself. From the fact that the hair is starting to return, he realized now that he can get back up on top as well. Because it doesn't make a difference if you fall down, you get back up. How far did he get back up? That in his final moments, Thomas Nafshim pushed him, he killed more than his entire life combined. Which again, you read the story of Shimshon, that's a lot of people. They should make a cheshbon of it. It's a lot of people. It shows that even when a guy gets down, the idea is to get back up. Now, here Shimshon talking about physical strength, but it's not limited to physical strength, obviously. The way to look at this, the hair growing, was it, according to one approach, a siba for his strength to come back? That means the hair growing meant his strength was coming back automatically. It was in a proportional situation. As the hair was growing, his physical strength was growing. The Siba of it, the reason that why it was coming to that, or no, it was a simon, it was a sign to him to recognize really it's not natural. It's not coming back. But you know what comes back? Tzaddik can bounce back. Tzaddik can bounce back, that's the point. So Shimshon took the lesson that tzaddik can bounce back, or how you become a tzaddik. Tzaddik, you're bouncing back, you're not the tzaddik yet. According to the Musa way of learning it, you fall down, you're not a tzaddik. The bouncing back is what makes you the tzaddik. Not that tzaddik can bounce back. Regular people bounce back to become tzaddikim. So Shimshon Agiba realized that he's gonna bounce back from noticing that the hair is gonna start to grow and say, you know what, I'm gonna do the same thing, I'm gonna begin to grow as well. All of us, wherever we're holding in life, it doesn't make a difference. We have to realize that just like the hair on our head is growing, hopefully, depends on how old you are, just like the hair on your head is growing, that means you could bounce back as well and become great as well, to the level that you can exceed your entire life until now. What do you want to add? They bring down a vart that some people, their last day of their life is why they were created. The last moment of their life. It's actually almost a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that the Menekes was returning with Yaakov, the Menekes Rivka's Menekes was returning with Yaakov when he was coming back. And it doesn't say her name over there. So why is he mentioning it at all? She's not mentioned at all in the Torah until she dies. Then it says that she died. And Yaakov mourned her. And maybe he mourned also his mother. But it's brought down that Menekes died and Yaakov mourned her. So Rashi says that, yeah, Menekes, she came with the whole time. She's not mentioned anywhere till this last second. So according to some, they want to say, because that her goal in life was accomplished on that last day. That was her goal. She had a whole lifetime to work for that last goal. Which means no matter where you're holding in life, it doesn't matter how far back you are. You have to realize that the best days are ahead of you. Good chance. Good chance. I can't say for sure. Can't predict the future. But there's a good chance that your best days are ahead of you. How do you get to the best days ahead of you? By realizing that no matter where you are right now, you can get back up and be that tzaddik. Not that you will be a tzaddik, get back up. That's backward. No, you get back up, you become that tzaddik. Everyone here right now has the opportunity to get back up and be a tzaddik. Now, I'm not saying you're down. But you have to get back up means even if you're neutral. Wherever you are holding a life, you can get back up. The reason why the Torah added in six words, which seems completely irrelevant to the entire story, according to at least to the Barbara, for sure, completely irrelevant, it doesn't help his strength at all, is to teach us today this lesson. Get back up, become the tzaddik, and change the world. Shkoyach.